I was on a mission one time, and I have two witnesses in this room that can verify my story. Tina and Lee Bounds are my witnesses. I was on a mission after I met Liz to win her heart and to make her fall in love with me. I'm serious. And I was oblivious to the time of what Tina and Lee have told me later, that they didn't think I liked them very much. They were Liz's housemates at the time I was trying to court Liz, trying to get her interested in me. And so I was over there quite a bit. And they said it's like they weren't even in the room when I was there. I didn't look at them. I didn't make eye contact. I hardly ever talked to them because I was singularly focused on my mission. It's the thing I had to do. I could not do it. I had to win her heart. You ever been on the mission? Maybe your mission was to win that special person over. Maybe your mission is to lose 20 pounds or to get that job or to finish school. We've all have missions. We all have things we have to do. That don't mean like mundane things when you wake up and you go, I have to mow the yard. Not that kind of stuff. But it's more the, I have to do this. I cannot not do it. I must do it. And you're even excited about doing it. Well, today we're going to talk about the mission of God, the mission of Jesus specifically. These two guys in the clip I'm about to show you are an example of two guys who are on a mission from God, and they are singularly focused on the mission from God. And my keyboard's not working, Grayson.
The county took a tax assessment of this property last month. They want $5,000.
Doesn't the church have to pay that?
They would if they were interested in keeping the place. But they aren't. The Archbishop wants to sell this building outright to the Board of Education.
What's going to happen to you?
I'll be sent to the missions. Africa. Latin America. Korea.
Forget it. $5,000, no problem. We'll have it for you in the morning. Let's go, Elwood.
Oh, yeah? Well, me and the Lord, we got an understanding.
We're on a mission from God.
We're putting the band back together.
Forget it. No way.
We're on a mission from God.
Matt, me and Elwood, putting the band back together.
Ma'am, you gotta understand that this is a lot bigger than any domestic problems you might be experiencing.
Would it make you feel any better if you knew that what we're asking Matt here to do is a holy thing?
You see, we're on a mission from God.
First you trade the Cadillac for a microphone. Then you lie to me about the band. Now you're gonna put me right back in the joint.
They're not gonna catch us. We're on a mission from God. Miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses.
Hit it.
The Lord works in mysterious ways.
Yep.
Yep. So their mission may have been a little misguided, but they felt like they were on a mission from God. And that whole movie is about raising that money for the orphanage. Truth is, we all have a mission from God. All followers of Jesus have a mission, and that is the exact same mission as the mission of Jesus. You and I share the Jesus mission. That Jesus mission is this: helping people find their way back to God. That is our Jesus mission. And there's a great example of this in John chapter 4. If you want to turn there, the scriptures are not going to be on the slides, so if you want to open your Bible. This is a story that if you've been to church very much at all, you almost have the story memorized. It's the story of the woman at the well, that Jesus goes to Samaria and meets the woman at the well. We're going to read it, and then we're going to talk about it. John chapter 1, starting in verse 1. The Pharisees heard that Jesus was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. When the Lord learned of this, he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. That's his hometown area. Now, he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. And Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well, and it was about the sixth hour, which is about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone away to the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew. I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" For Jews do not associate with Samaritans. And Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as he did also his sons, his flocks, and his herds?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become to him a spring of water, welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water, that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go and call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You're right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain," here in Samaria, Mount Gerizim, "but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is actually in Jerusalem." Jesus declared, "Believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming, and now has come, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said, "I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." And Jesus declared, "I who speak to you am he." Just then, the disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked, "What do you want?" or "Why are you talking with her?" Then, leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ, the Messiah?" They came out of the town and made their way toward him. Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, "Rabbi, teacher, eat something." But he said to them, I have food to eat that you know nothing about." Then his disciples said to each other, "Could someone have brought him some food?" "My food," Jesus said, "is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do not say 4 months more than the harvest. Do you not say 4 months more and then the harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Even now the reaper draws his wages. Even now he harvests the crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying, 'One sows and another reaps,' is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labor." Verse 39. Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. "He told me everything I did." So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, "We no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world." That is one of my favorite stories of Jesus. I think it's probably number two. I think the first one is the parable he tells about the Good Samaritan. I think this is my second favorite story of Jesus. In this section, we can see that Jesus was on a mission. And it was God's mission. And there are three aspects of this that I want to call attention to. The first one is reach. Jesus had to reach. Now, when we use the word reach in our everyday language, it's because something is not very close to us. We have to reach to get the cookbook from the shelf above the microwave. We have to reach out to someone who might need help. We reach for things. Emma's reach surprises me day by day. I'm thinking, this is safe distance away from her, and she lunges. You know, she did it yesterday at George and Danny's house. Before you know it, it's everywhere. Reach has to do with something that we want to be closer to or bring closer to us. Jesus had to reach the Samaritan woman. It's interesting, in verse 4, John says that Jesus had to go through Samaria to get to Galilee. That's not exactly true geographically. There were other routes to get to Galilee from Judea. This was the shortest route, but the really orthodox Pharisees would not take the route because the Samaritans were enemies with the Jews. You see, when the Assyrians invaded the northern kingdom and they carried off people from the north, and that area, Samaria, is one of those areas, they carried off as captives. And they replaced those people with other captives from other places. And so what was left was this mix of races, mix of ethnic peoples together. And they got together and they married and they had babies. And the result is the Samaritans, what we have today, what they had during Jesus' day. So they were a mixed race, mixed ethnicities. And when those Assyrians brought people down into that area, they brought all their gods with them and their idols and their false practices. And the Samaritans had a syncretism to their religion. They synchronized things from their Jewish history and things from their pagan worship from the Assyrians, and they put them together in this weird mix. So to the Jews, especially, the Orthodox Pharisees, the Samaritans were less than human. Now, Jesus is not a Pharisee, but he's pretty orthodox. I mean, he says things in the Hebrew Bible are true. There's nothing in it that's not true. Everything is still is still good for his day. But he chose to go through Samaria. And it's not because it was a geographical thing he had to do. I think it was a mission thing he had to do. I think it was something he knew he could not do. Because there was a village there. And in that village was a Samaritan woman. That Samaritan woman had five husbands and is living with a guy who's not her husband. That Samaritan woman is a disgrace. Probably has her reputation in the whole village is ruined. That's why she goes to the well in the middle in the heat of the day. No one goes to get water from the well in the heat of the day. No, the ladies would go early in the morning and in the evening in the cool times. But here she is alone at the well drawing water. Jesus knew what his mission was. He had to reach this woman. He was on a mission from God. He had to reach her. Reaching is about reaching people who are away from God, to bring them back to God. The Samaritan woman was far from God, but you know what? That doesn't mean she was not spiritual. She was very spiritual. She had spiritual questions, spiritual insights, spiritual misunderstandings. And she engaged Jesus in a spiritual conversation. Just like this Samaritan woman, you and I have people in our lives who are far from God. They may be spiritual. They may have a lot of different ideas about God and gods, and what it means to be a spiritual person. But they are still far from God. And it is our mission to reach them. To reach for something, you have to strive for it. You can't just look at that cookbook on the top shelf and go, oh, I wish you'd come over here. No, you have to put some effort to it. You have to reach for it. And you and I have to reach for people in our family, in our schools, at our work, our neighbors who are far from God. We have to put some effort into it to reach them and bring them closer to God. We talked about the Great Commission a couple weeks ago in Matthew 28. Jesus told his followers, go into all the world. Go. Make disciples. Put some effort into it. Reach out to people. That's the first part thing we see. The second thing we see is restore. Jesus had a mission to give restoration to this woman. He wanted to restore, and this is God's mission. God wants us all to realize, to experience his original intent for us. In the garden, we were close to God. We were close to each other. There was no separation before Adam and Eve sinned. And that is God's original intent, to dwell in paradise. Well, we messed that up. But God wants to restore it. God wants to restore that original intent. And Jesus wanted to give this woman some restoration. Now, as he's talking to her, you can see that her hope is being restored. You can see that her faith is being restored. And as she goes and tells all the people of the town, and the people come, and they even say to her, we believed because you said so, but now, thank you. Now we see Jesus, we believe for ourselves. Maybe her reputation has been restored. Jesus is all about restoring what is broken. And the Samaritan woman was a broken woman. She had a lot of men in her life who claimed to love her. Where are they in this story? Can you imagine going through that many divorces, that many breakups? It's easy to think, no one loves me. I can never live up to what I should be. It's easy to be heartbroken. This is a heartbroken woman. And Jesus' mission is to restore her. You and I have the same mission. We have the same part of this Jesus mission, to restore what is broken, to restore God's dream for the world. And we know there's lots of broken stuff in our world. There's racial discrimination that has been going on for hundreds of years, maybe longer, in our country. It's broken. There are people in our town who are homeless. That's broken. There are people who are not living up and getting all that God has to offer for them because they've been beaten down, they've been downtrodden on, they have been raised in such a way not to know God and not to know His blessings, not to know how to what's needed to get themselves out of poverty. I mean, poverty is a huge problem in our city. It's broken. We have broken people, broken systems right here in Memphis that need restoration. A lot of us come from a church background that started in America a couple hundred years ago. It's called the Restoration Movement. The Restoration Movement was all about getting people restored back to New Testament Christianity. Let's get back to the New Testament. Let's get rid of all this stuff. Let's just do what the Bible says. Let's be people of the Word, people of the Bible. Let's restore what was lost when it comes to the practicing of our faith and religion. So we know what restoration is. But are we living it out? Are we reaching out to people to restore them? God says that we are ministers of reconciliation. God calls us to be a bridge between Him and the broken world. We are His ambassadors, His priests, His ministers of reconciliation. That's a mission from God, to restore people back to a good relationship with God and His dream for them. The third thing is reproduce. This is exactly what happened to the Samaritan woman. She went and told the village. And before you know it, the whole village is coming to Jesus, physically and spiritually. They come and they meet Him. They hear what He has to say. And they beg Him to stay for two more days. Just stay. Here's what it says. From that city, many of the Samaritans believed in Him because of the word of the, and I think that last word should be woman, because of the woman's testimony. So her enthusiasm for the mission of God reproduced other believers. And you and I are called to reproduce other believers, to make disciples who make disciples. This is what the Samaritan woman, Jesus made a disciple, and what did she do? She turned around and made more disciples. Somehow we have lost part of that in our Jesus mission today. And I want to call us back to this, that we are supposed to be disciples who reproduce, disciples who make disciples. How do we do that? How can we go from our Jerusalem to our Judea to our Samaria to the ends of the earth? How can we be on mission? How can we be on the Jesus mission? Well, we're going to be talking about that, but the three things of Jesus' mission from that we see is that we need to reach out to people, we need to help restore them to a relationship with God and to God's dreams for them, and we then need to reproduce that and help our disciples make more disciples. Right there in the middle is where we find the target, the bullseye, the heart of the Jesus mission. And I don't think you can really be on the Jesus mission unless you do all three of these things. It takes all three: reaching out, restoring, and reproducing. How are we going to do that? If you've been going here, attending church here very long, you've seen this slide quite a few times on the screen. Probably appears on the screen 3, 4, 5 times every Sunday. So this is our purpose statement: leading people to grow into fully developed followers of Jesus. If you will, this is the way we have phrased our Jesus mission: leading people to grow into fully developed followers of Jesus. Now, this includes all people. It includes reaching out to people who are right now way far away from God. It includes our own children. It includes each other and our spouses. It includes everybody. No matter how close or how far you are from God, we want to lead people to grow into a relationship with Jesus, to be fully developed followers of Jesus. But it's not enough to just know this catchphrase. The way we say, the way we kind of flesh this out, is that there are three vital relationships. All right? We say it is very, and we could do three circles again with these things, and we need all three of these. Intimacy with God, that's super important if you're going to be on the Jesus mission. Influence with people away from God, and community with other believers. Those are the three vital relationships that are connected to our purpose. And remember, our purpose is the same purpose as Jesus, the same mission as Jesus. Without those three things, without one of those three things, we are not on Jesus' mission. We need intimacy with God. We need to have influence with outsiders, people away from God. And we need to have community with each other. So those are the three things. But it's not enough to even know those three things. We've got to put these things into practice. And that's what this series is all about. This series called Blessed to Bless. And it comes from the original covenant God made with Abraham. This covenant is repeated several times throughout the Old Testament. And it's added to and revised as it goes through, or reworded as it goes through. Here's what God said to Abraham: I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. You will be a what? You will be a blessing. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. The mission of Abraham was to be a blessing to people. And his descendants, and his descendants, and their descendants, and their descendants, all the way to Jesus, was the ultimate blessing to all the peoples of the world. We have the same mission as Abraham. We are to bless people. That was the mission of Jesus, to bless people. And to make it easy, we have a little acronym we're going to be using for the next 5 weeks. And guess what it spells? Bless. I know. Can you believe it? So next week, we're going to do the B word, right? That didn't sound good. We'll do the first one next week. So each week we'll take one of these letters. But I want to go ahead and just go through these with you. Number one, we begin with prayer. Now this was a stretch, okay? It's not. I like to use the verb as the first word, but to begin with prayer is a very important thing. We're going to spend a whole week on that. And I want us to pray for the people and the places where God sends us. So we have to listen to the Spirit of God so we know where He's sending us and to whom He's sending us. And before we do anything else, we want to pray for God to open our eyes, open our heart to whatever circumstances that people are in that need to be restored, that need to be reached, and who can reproduce the mission. L is listen. We will listen to the people or place to where which we are sent. We went out feeding the homeless Wednesday night. And one of the things I love about the way they do this is they teach us to take time to listen to the homeless. There are some ministries who come and they just hand the food off and then they go to the next person. And that's fine. You know, we want to feed people. But we take our time. And we had some talkers on Wednesday. And we were there late. I'll tell you more about that later. But we need to listen to people. One of the homeless people said, not this Stephen, we were talking about this very thing. He brought it up, not me. We were talking. He said, you know, some people just come drop off food and leave. He said, that's not what we need. That's not what the homeless need. The thing we really need is to be heard. We need someone to talk to us and listen to us. We need human contact. Well, we need to listen to the Spirit of God continuing through the day. Where are you sending me? Let me hear what people really have to say, even when they don't say it. Eat. We're going to have a whole sermon on eating. Yes! Is this series looking better to you now? Eating is a ministry. It really is. So with the eating, we are going to share meals with those to whom we are sent. We could add not just eating, but drinking coffee or whatever. I would say Jesus ate with this Samaritan woman when they shared water together. There's something about sitting down at a table together with someone. Something special about that. And serve. We will respond to the needs we discover among those to whom we are sent. We're going to serve. And lastly, story. We're going to share the story of Jesus and what He's doing in our lives. Those are the five things that we're going to be discussing over the next few weeks. Now, the first challenge for our series is to do at least one of these every day. At least one of these every day. Another challenge for this series, and I wish our growth groups were meeting right now regularly, because I would write this question into every single growth group lesson. Who did you bless this week? Who did you bless this week? Our growth groups aren't meeting right now regularly, so I want us to ask each other those questions. Ask our spouses and our kids those questions and our parents. Ask our friends that question. Who did you bless this week? Who did you bless? We need to hear the stories of how God is working in our lives. I guarantee, you hear that? I guarantee, you can hold me to it. You can hold me to it, Asher? I guarantee that if we put these things into practice every day, and if we build this question into our lives with each other, then we are going to be living out this blessing strategy that God gave Abraham that Jesus continued, and that we are going to be on the Jesus mission. We are going to be on our mission from God. We are blessed in order to bless others. Father God, thank you so much for your message, for Jesus, the way he reached out to us, the way he restored us, and the way the church has reproduced itself over and over through the years, making more disciples. We want to be on the Jesus mission. Help us, Lord, as we strive to bless people. We pray this through Christ's name. Amen.